Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Ayin Dalid. We left off yesterday, Elisha left off yesterday, six lines from the end of the page on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis at Esavay. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ilei Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom. It's also sponsored by Beryl Eckstein, in commemoration of the yahrzeit of his father, Rabbi Shimon Aryeh Leib, Ben Rabbi Cheskel Chaim Eckstein. It's also sponsored by Dr. Yosef Gervich, in honor of his wife and children. And it's also sponsored in memory of Pinchas Ben Yehuda Aryeh Altman, whose 31st yard site is today. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are right in the middle of a sugya. We've been discussing if a man is Mekadesh Isha Al Tanai, and then he's Kansa Stam, and then he marries her, he does the Nisuin without any Tanai. Do we assume that the Tanai is still binding? Do we assume that if the Tanai has not been fulfilled, that she does not require a get? So we had a comment where we said, maybe that's only the whole machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about such a case is only if it's ke'ein shtei nashim, that it's isha achas, but it's ke'ein shtei nashim. What does that mean, isha achas, that's ke'ein shtei nashim? That he's mekadish nisha al tanai, but then instead of doing nisuin right away with that same woman, he divorces her, then is mekadish her again and has nisuin. So do we assume that that same initial tanai is still binding? But maybe everybody agrees that isha achas, that if he's mekadish al tanai and then he does nisuin, of course the tanai is still going to be binding. So we're bringing rayas whether that's true or not. Whether when you have isha achas, ta'us isha achas, is that considered to be something where the Tanai is still binding? So the Gemara is going to bring a raya that there's a machlokas even in a case of ta'us isha achas, that the machlokas is not only in a case of ke'ein shtei nashim, it's even in a case of ta'us isha achas. Then the Gemara is going to discuss what is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Does Rabbi Yochanan hold in a case where a person is mekadesh al Tanai and then has bia, do we assume that the Tanai falls away because the bia is this is not about kinsa, this is about having bia? Do we assume that the bia is l'shem kiddushin without a tanai, and therefore the tanai falls away? Or do we assume that the tanai remains in effect? And then the Gemara is going to talk about different types of invalid kiddushin that are followed by bia. To what extent do we assume that if a person did a kiddushin that's invalid, he's mekadesh, for example, with pachos mishava pruta, so he did a kiddushin that doesn't work, and then he has bia, to what extent do we assume that that bia is the new kiddushin, and therefore they are married? Or to what extent do we assume that that bia is working with the assumption that he's already married, and therefore he's not having das for kiddushin with that bia? And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about cases of tanai on nedarim and on mumin. A person makes a tanai that the woman doesn't have any nedarim, a tanai that she doesn't have any mumin that she does have, but then she solves the problem. How do you solve a neder? Hataras nedarim. How do you solve a mum? She goes to a doctor, and he solves the mum. He fixes it after the fact. Do we assume that the kiddushin is invalid because she didn't fulfill the tanai of the kiddushin at the time of the kiddushin? Or do we assume that the kiddushin is valid because all's well that ends well, and right now there are none of these problems exist? Then the Gemara is going to raise a stira what the din is with the kiddushin if she had a hataras chachamim. Meaning, in that context, we're going to have a stira in two different sources about the nedarim case. He's a mekadisher al tanai that she doesn't have a nedarim. She did have a nedarim, but then she was matir with a chacham. So we have a stira between two different sources in Tanaim as far as what we hold about that. And the Gemara is going to give one answer to that stira in today's daf, and another answer to that stira in tomorrow's daf. And both answers are going to be from Rava. So one of them we have to change, and it's going to have to be Rava, because Rava wouldn't have given two different answers to the stira. So let's begin. Six lines from the end of the page on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. So Esve, so the Gemara challenges, Abaye challenges Rabba. We have a brisa that tells us that in the context of a Mishnah, Maseches Yevamos Daf Kuf Tes, the Mishnah talks about a person who's Mekadish and Isha, and then he's Megarish the Isha, and then he remarries the woman, and then he dies without any children. Do we assume that the brother is allowed to do Yibum in such a case? So that's a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim hold that she's Mutar teres biyibum, because she's eshes achiv and they didn't have any children, so why not? But Rabbi Lazar says she's asura to do yibum because he made a gzeira on these women doing yibum based on another case that's similar where it would be problematic. So the Gemara explains that even though the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, modim Chachamim to Rabbi Eliezer, b'ketana, there is a case where the Chachamim are modim to Rabbi Eliezer that there's no eligibility for Yibum, and this is the case on account of which Rabbi Eliezer says, even in the case we just mentioned, there's going to be no eligibility for Yibum. Modim Chachamim to Rabbi Eliezer, b'ketana she'siya eviha, a ketana whose father had married her off, which is totally within his rights when she's young, Vinis Garsha, and then she got divorced from her husband, and Vihi Yisoma B'chaye Av, and now she's in this unusual predicament where she's like a Yisoma, but her father is actually alive, meaning the father no longer has the right to give her over for Kiddushin Min HaTorah, because once she had Nisuin with that husband that the father gave her over to originally, so the father loses his rights. She's Yotzei Mirushos Av, and all his Zuchus to be Mekabel Kiddushin is gone, and she has no yad to be mekabel kiddushin until she gets older, until she becomes a gedola. So the only way she can get married right now is if her mother and brother marry her off, and then it would be a kiddushin midrabanan. There's no way to affect kiddushin midoraisa. And then vihichzira, then the megaresh remarries her when she's still a katana, and then he dies without any children. So shecholatzes v'lomus yavemes. Even according to the Chum, in such a case, yibum is not an option. Only chalitza is an option. It would be like a grusha who's an adult that goes back to the husband, and then the husband dies without any children, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Mipnei shegirusheha gerushin gemurin, because the divorce is a real divorce, meaning the first kiddushin is gone. The kiddushin that she had by her father giving her over for kiddushin, which was a kiddushin min haTorah, that has disappeared with the gerushin. Ve'in chazarasa chazara gemura, and then when he remarried her, that was only a remarriage on a derabbanan level. She was a yisoma b'chaye ha'av. She had no capacity for kiddushin on a d'oraisa level. She's too young to be mekabel her own kiddushin. Her father can't be mekabel kiddushin for her anymore because she's already had nisuin, so she's already left her father's rishus. The only kiddushin she's capable of is a kiddushin on a d'rabbanan level. So since she can't have a kiddushin min haTorah, the chachamim were only mesakein a d'rabbanan level kiddushin, she can't do yibum based on a kiddushin midrabbanan with her deceased husband's brother. Because min haTorah, she's not an eishes achiv, she's a grushas achiv. So says the Gemara, b'med var mamurim, when do we say that the chum are modet Rabbi Eliezer, that a katana that's in iskarsha and then goes back to her husband, that she's not eligible for yibum, that's only shegir shekashi katana, v'chziru kashi katana. That's only if she got divorced from her husband when she was a katana, and then she got remarried to him as a katana, and the husband died while she was still a katana. So it turns out that this second kiddushin with that husband is only a kiddushin midrabanan because she was a katana. She couldn't have kiddushin midaraisa. But what if we alter the case just a bit? Aval girsha kshi katana. What if her father gives her for kiddushin, she's a katana, she's 8 years old, 9 years old. Then the husband divorces her as a katana, so she's fully divorced. And then, v'chziru kshi gedola, he says, you know what? It just dawned on me. I don't want to marry an 8-year-old. I'm going to wait till you become older. So he only remarries her when she's a gedola, and she's now able to be mekabel kiddushin on her own, mida oraisa. The kiddushin is going to work on a d'oraisa level. Oh, Sheikh Zirik she katana, or it could even be a case where he remarries her while she's still a katana. V'gadla etzlo, and they stay married long enough for her to become a gedola, umates, and after she becomes a gedola, the husband dies. So now she's like any other woman. So where they have a full marriage because they've had bia after she already became a gedola. So then ochaletz asomus yavemes. Then since they were still married while she was a gedola, we assume that marriage is mida oraisa, and therefore she's eligible for both chalitza and yibum. Mishum Rabbi Eliezer amru choletzas v'lo misyavemes. They said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that Bechel. Let's say Velomis Yavemis. No, she can only do Chalitza, but not Yibum, even though he remarried her when she was a Gedola, and therefore Min HaTorah, they're able to do Yibum. Rabbi Elazar made a Gzeira that the cases are too similar. If you allow Yibum in such a case, what's going to be? It could be that in the case where the second husband dies, when she's still a Katana, not second husband, where the second marriage ends in the husband's death, when she's still a Katana, that you're also going to end up allowing Yibum, and therefore we just don't allow Yibum in any such cases. So now Abaye challenges Rabba from the Shita of the Chachamim. V'ahacha, in this case, by this Katana, in the case, again, going back to the case where the father married her off when she was a Katana, she got divorced, and then she got remarried, still a Katana, and then she grew up and became a Gedola while married to the husband, and the husband was boel her as a Gedola without any Maisa, without any Maisa Gerushin. So you assume that he made a mistake, and he assumed that the Kiddushin was Chal Min Adin, and he was boel her Mishagadla, he was boel her Mishagadla Al Das that Kiddushin, not having intent for a new Kiddushin. Meaning he remarried her when she was 10 years old, and then stayed with her till she was 20 years old. He can stay before he dropped dead. So when he had Bia with her when she was 12, 13, 14, 15, when she was already a Gedola, what was going through his mind? Was he thinking that this is marriage? This is how I'm generating marriage? This is a Maisa Kiddushin? Or in his mind, was he thinking, we're already married, and therefore this is just a result of marriage. This is just living together like man and wife. So most likely, he already thought that they are married, and that he's just having Bia as a married couple. The Ketos Isha Achas Tami, and that is similar to Taos Isha Achas, where the Bia with this Katana is similar to Bi'ila Stam, after Kiddushin al Tanai, where you assume that he thought that Tanai was fulfilled, and this was just regular living together. Opligi, and you see that there is this machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehuda, that according to the Chachamim, she's Ishto Gemura Min HaTorah, and they're allowed to do Yibum because we assume that the Bia is L'shem Kiddushin, and we don't assume that that his Bia is Al Das, the original Kiddushin. So you see that not everybody agrees V'Taos Isha Achas, that she does not require a get. You see, even in the case of Taos Isha Achas, the Machloka still stands. So says the word, no, not a Raya. Hasam Nami, in this price that talks about a Katani Yesoma B'chaye Aviha, that got remarried and then was Gadla Eitzel Baila, she became a Gadola while still married to the husband, they have a machlokas just like in the Braisa of a Mekadish B'Taus U'Pachs Mishav Pruto. Baha Kamifugi. The machlokas in the Chum Reb Lazar is the following. Mar Savar Adam Yodea She'en Kiddushe Ketana Klum. The Chum hold that everybody knows that Kiddushe Ketana does not work Min HaTorah, and the Gomer U'Bal L'Shem Kiddushin, and therefore when he subsequently has Bia with her, he's doing it L'Shem Kiddushin, and she becomes Ishto Gemura. Umar Savar and Rabbi Eliezer holds, that not everybody knows that Kiddushe Ketana doesn't work. He might think at the time that he's machzir her as a Ketana that that works in Min HaTorah, and the Bia is not a Bias Nos. V'chi Kabal, and therefore when he's boel her again after she becomes a Gedola, I died to the Kiddushe Rishonim Kabal. He's being boel her because he thinks they're already married. So it turns out that she doesn't become Ishto Min HaTorah. She never became Ishto Min HaTorah. The actual Kiddushe was only Kiddushe Midrash. Rabbanan. The subsequent Bia was Al Das, that original Kiddushin. So she never really becomes his wife on a Daraisa level, and that's why, if he drops dead, the brother's not allowed to do Yibum. So this Braisa disagrees with our Mishnah that understands the Machlokas by Machzir Grushaso, to be even about Machzir Grushaso Gedola, and holds that the Machlokas is only when you're Machzir Katana, who's Gadla Etzlo, but not when you're Machzir Grushaso Gedola. So now the Gemara says, what is Rabbi Yochanan's Shita about a case where you're Mekadesh al Tanai, and then you have Bia? What do we assume about that Bia? Itmar Nami. So we have another Chacham coming and telling us his opinion about that he holds like Rabba, that by Tos Isha Achas you're not going to require a get. That Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, HaMekadesh al Tanai Ubi. Baal. If a person is Mekadesh woman al Tanai, and then he's Baal her, so it turns out, and then it turns out that the Tanai was never fulfilled. So Divrei HaKol, both Rav and Shmuel would agree. The Machlokas doesn't apply in this case. Both Rav and Shmuel would agree. There's no need for a get, because when he had the Bia, it was Aldas, the original Kiddushin, and because he thought that the Tanai was fulfilled. Tanai wasn't fulfilled. There was no Kiddushin. This isn't a Kiddushin. This Bia is not a Kiddushin. And therefore, you don't even require a get. There is no marriage here whatsoever. So again, this highlights the point that Rabbah had said that Taos Isha Achas Kuli Almalo Pligi, that if it's one woman where you're Makadesh Al Tanai and then Kinsa Stam, then you're Koneser, everyone's going to agree that if the Tanai is not fulfilled, they're simply not married. So Eisvei, so the Gemara challenges, is that true that Rabbi Yochanan holds that way? Eisvei, Ravacha Breid Ravika Bar Achte, Ravacha Breid Ravika, who was the nephew of Ravacha Bar Yaakov, challenges from the beer of Rabbi Yochanan to a Braisa, where Rabbi Yochanan's going to imply that when you're Boel Stam, she will require a get. That if a person is Makadesh Al Tanai, and then he has Bia Stam, and the Tanai was not fulfilled, that we're going to assume that that Bia is a Kiddushin, and that you're going to require a get. How do I know that? From the following Braisa. Chalitza Muta'as. If someone makes a mistaken Chalitza means that they tricked the Yavam into doing a Chalitza, Kshera. It's going to be Kasher to be Matar the Yavam, and the Yavam is now going to be allowed to marry whoever she wants, even though we fooled him into doing a chalitza. So what does that mean? We fooled him into doing a chalitza. How badly did we fool him? Ezri chalitza mutas. What is the case of chalitza mutas that the Braisa says is kosher? Amri shlakish kol sha'omlo. The dayan says to the yavam. The yavam says, "I refuse. I'm not doing chalitza. If you write me a check for $100,000, then I'll do the chalitza. Otherwise, I'm not doing something like that." He refuses. So the dayan says, "Chalotzla ubekacha takonza." No. This procedure with the shoe and the spitting and the whole business, that makes her your wife. So do the chalitza, and then you'll go home and you'll live happily ever after. So he does it, not realizing that chalitza does the exact opposite. The chalitza sends her off and lets her go marry Lashuk. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So that's the chalitza mutas, that's kshera. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, really? Ani shona bein she neskavin hu v'lo neskavin hi. In the hemshech of that braisa, I have a version of the braisa where it says, whether the husband, the man is having kavana to be matir her with chalitza, but she's not having kavana that she's going to become mutares, or bein she neskavni he velo neskavin hu, or if you have a case in the opposite where she's having kavana that the chalitza is going to be matir her, but he's not having kavana that the chalitza is going to be matir her. Chalitza subsula. The chalitza is going to be pasla. Achis kavna shteim. They both need to have kavana that this chalitza is being matir her to the shuk. So you see in this price that when you don't know that the chalitza was matir the yavam l'shuk, the chalitza is taka, not kosher. So how can you tell me that chalitza muta'as means that they tell the guy, don't worry, with this chalitza, she becomes your wife? No, you both have to have kavana. The guy has to have kavana that he's being matir l'shuk. Not amr chalitza sekshera. You're telling me that this is the case of chalitza muta'as, that chalitza sekshera? Elam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you misunderstood what the Braisa meant. Chalitza mutas doesn't mean that he thought he gets to stay married to her with this chalitza. No, it's called Sha'omelo Chalotza Al Menashetid Nok Masayim Zuz. It's where we tell him, oh, this is a very lucrative thing for you to do. You do the chalitza and she's going to pay you. It's going to be Al Tanai that she pays you X amount of money. Masayim Zuz, you're going to get a lot of money off of this. So even though she doesn't give the Masayim Zuz, the chalitza is still going to be kosher. So from the fact that the Tanai is not mechayiv her, Rav Acha Breid Ravika says, well, Alma, the implication is from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that that Tanai is not mechayiv her in the Masayim Zuz, even though they made it Tanai that the Chalitza's got to be with the Masayim Zuz. Kivan to Avid Maisa Achuli Achli L'Tanai. The implication is that Rabbi Yochanan understands the Braisa to be saying that, yeah, Tanai is a powerful thing, but once you do a Maisa that goes against the Tanai, you're Mochel the Tanai. The Shtika, when you do that Maisa, where you don't repeat the Tanai, B'Shas Maisa, tells me that I'm ignoring the Tanai, I'm rejecting the Tanai, I'm overriding that Tanai. So we tell the guy in advance that there's going to be a Tanai, that with this Chalitza, that there's going to be Masayim Zuz, it changes hands. But then at the time of the Chalitza, we don't repeat the Tanai, therefore the Tanai goes away, and the Chalitza is going to be binding. Ooh, so Hachanami. So in our case also, we are a Mekadesh woman al Tanai, and then you do a maisa bia with her without repeating the tanai, given the baal achule achle the tanai, since he was baal her afterwards stam, and he doesn't mention at the time of the bia, he doesn't mention the tanai that he was masam b'shas kiddushin. So you see that his shtika shows that he's being mochel on the tanai, and he's baal l'shem kiddushin. So now we have a stira in Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan was the one, Rav Acha bar Yaakov reported in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that mekadesh al tanai ubaal. All the Amoraim hold Ein Shrichei Menuget, that it's that you're not going to require a get if the Tanai wasn't fulfilled. The Tanai is still there, the Tanai is still binding, and therefore if the Tanai is not fulfilled, they're not married. Yet over here you see that once you do a Maisa, the Tanai falls away, the Tanai is not binding in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So Amalei, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov responded to his nephew. Again, it was Rav Acha Breid Rav Ika who was challenging his uncle, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov responds to his nephew, Bar Be Rav, Shapir Kamrat. Shapir Kamrat. You think you're saying something good in explaining Rabbi Yochanan, the Chalitza Mutas is kosher? Why, you think it's because he's being mochel on the Tanai? That's why Chalitza Mutas is kosher? And based on that, you're asking this whole stira in Rabbi Yochanan? You're totally misunderstanding the whole Chalitza Mutas business. Michti, Kol Tanai Mehech Gamrinan. How do I know the very concept of a Tanai, that a Tanai has the ability to be Mevata L'maisa? We only know it Mitanai B'nei Gadol B'nei Ruvain from the fact that the Torah says that there was a Tanai that Moshe Rabbeinu made with the B'nei Gadol B'nei Ruvain, that if they go and they help the battle, they help the rest of Klal Yisrael in the battles to win Eretz Yisrael, then they will receive Eretz Gilad as a Nachla. And if they don't, then they won't receive Eretz Gilad as a Nachla, they ever yard. And therefore, you cannot learn that a Tanai is going to work in any circumstance that's not similar to B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain. Tanai only works in those kinds of situations that are similar to B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain. And therefore, Tanai Daf Shal Kiyume Al Yidei Shliach Ki Hasam, if you have a Tanai where you could fulfill it Al Yidei Shliach, like the B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain, or Moshe told Yeshua his Shliach to give them Eretz Gilad, so Moshe fulfilled his end of the Tanai Al Yudei Shaliach, he had Yeshua do it for him, Havi Tanai Tanai, then the Tanai is going to be Chal, and it's going to work to be Mevatel, the Maisa, if you don't fulfill the Tanai. Since it's Biyado to be Mekayim the Maisa, even Al Yudei Shaliach, it's Mestava that it's Biyado to make a Tanai. Meaning, the two aren't, it's not just random, like we're random. I mean, there are a lot of things about Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. For example, people have a forefather named Gad or Ruvain, right? So do you need that in order to make a Tanai? I mean, you can't take every single detail of B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain, but this is one that's very mistaver, meaning if you have the power over this Maisa, that you're even able to appoint the Shliach, it means that you're very much in control, that you don't even have to do it yourself. You are so much the Bailim over this that you're even allowed to appoint the Shliach. So maybe that level of Bailus over this transaction also allows you to impose a Tanai into the transaction. So the same level of Bailus that would empower you to appoint the Shliach also empowers you to make a Tanai. So, but the law of Shalakiyume Al Yidei Shliach, but if you were to have a Tanai that you cannot do Al Yidei Shliach Kiyasam like you could in the Maisa Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain, and you're going to have to do it yourself, then maybe lo have a Tanai. The Tanai is not going to be valid at all. And that Tanai is not going to have the power to override a Maisa. And therefore, a Chalitza where the Yavam is not able to send a Shliach that the Yavama will be cholets his shoe of the Shliach in the place of the Yavam, you're not allowed to do that, then you can't make a Tanai over such a thing. And therefore she's Muteres, even though she doesn't give him the Masayim Zuz. So it's not because we assume that the guy's Mochel on the Tanai. You thought that the reason Chalitza Mutas, Rabbi Yochanan, that the Braisa says Chalitza Mutas is kosher, is because Rabbi Yochanan understands that when initially they impose the Tanai, that she's going to give him Masayim Zuz. And then he does a Maisa, he's Mochel on the Tanai, and that's why you carried it back and you asked, well, shouldn't that be the same story? If you're Mekadesh al Tanai, then you're Boel, that when you're Boel, you're Mochel al Tanai. No, if here's not a Mechila on the Tanai, he never had the right to make the Tanai in the first place. You can't impose a Tanai into Chalitza. Any Tanai you impose into Chalitza is invalid because Chalitza is not Kasher al Yidei Shliach. So there's no stira here in Rabbi Yochanan. Can't compare a case of kiddushin, which you can do al yidei shliach. Right? How many cases? That's one of the examples the Gemara gives of things that you could do al yidei shliach in the beginning of the second part of kiddushin. There's gittin, there's kiddushin, there's chumas and maestros. Nothing else really. That's where those are the examples of shlichus. I mean, there are other things you could do al yidei shliach, but those are the examples that Shas gives of shlichus, so that the Torah gives, perhaps even of shlichus. So kiddush could be done on either shliach. You can't compare them. Babia to low efshar lekaim al yedei shliach ki hasam kiddushay bia, which you cannot do al yedei shliach. So the Gemara is asking now, wait a second, kiddushay bia, where you can't do al yedei shliach, like the bnei gad bnei ruven could be v'kavi tana, and still it works to make a tanai. Meaning, we said if you're boel al menas sheyirtza abba, we have in yesterday's av boel al menas sheyirtza abba, and then the father is not rotza that she's ainim mekadeshes. So wait a second, but a kiddushay bia you can't do al yedei shliach. Meaning, you may be able to send a shliach to do kiddushin to give a ring, but you can't send a shliach to do kiddushin al yedei bia. So how come a tanai works over there? No, hasam yishem deyiskel shavayos ladadi. That's because we assume if Tanai works for one form of Kiddushin, it works for all forms of Kiddushin. Now we assume that Havaya, Kiddushin, whether it be Kiddushay Kesef, Shtar, or Bia, is all going to play by the same rules. Okay, Amar Avula Bar Abba, Amar Ula, Amar Ablazar. HaMekadish B'Milta. If a person is Mekadish, a woman, with money that she had borrowed from him, and she owes him the money back, and he's Mochel her that money, and he says, you know, I'm being Mochel, and now that money is a kiddushin. Such a kiddushin is not valid. And then uba'al. And then later he has bia with her. Or al tanai uba'al. Let's say he's mekadish or al tanai. And then he has bia with her. And the assumption is, and the tanai was never fulfilled. Or bepax mishavapruta uba'al. He's mekadish with less than shavapruta, which also is an invalid kiddushin. And then later he has bia with her. So we gave three examples of kiddushin that doesn't work, followed by bia. So what do we assume about that bia? Do we assume that that bia is now the kiddushin? Or do we assume that that bia was working with the assumption of a previously valid kiddushin, and therefore there never was a valid kiddushin? So three examples were mekadish b'milva, mekadish al tanai, where the tanai is not fulfilled, and mekadish pach mishav pruta. So divrei hakol tzricha ben ugat. In those cases, everyone agrees that ein al demos abilas abilas nos. He knows that the initial kiddushin didn't work, and therefore when he has bia with her, he's doing that l'shem kiddushin. So I'm Rav Yosef Barabba, I'm Rav Nachum, I'm Rav Yami. I don't agree. He says not in all of those cases. Hamekadish pach mishav pruta. If he's Mekadish Pachs Mishav Pruta and then he has Bia, yeah, that you're going to require a get, because that you're going to have to assume that the Bia is a Kiddushin. Bahahu Delo Ta'i. That a person doesn't make a mistake. Everybody knows Pachs Mishav. Everyone's been to enough weddings where they hear the Masada Kiddushin very often into the microphone say to the Eidim, does it look like it's worth the Shavar Pruta? So everybody knows that a Kiddushin with Pachs Mishav Pruta is not going to be a valid Kiddushin. So that, of course, when he has Bia subsequently, he's having in mind that the bia is l'shem kiddushin. Everyone knows that. Aval b'hanach ta'i. But in the other examples, where is mekadish b'milva? Does everyone know that mekadish b'milva doesn't work? Where is mekadish al tanai? Is that so obvious that it doesn't work? No, in those cases, he's probably having bia thinking that he's already married, and therefore the kiddushin is the bia is not considered to be the shame kiddushin. So Amar Rav Kana Mishmei Du'ula Hamakadish Al Tanai Uba'al Tzricha Menugat. If a person is Makadish Nish Al Tanai and then he has bia stam in front of Edim, so you require a get. We assume that bia is the shame kiddushin. Zehoya Maisa. They had such an episode that happened where a guy was Makadish Nish Al Tanai. Tanai was not fulfilled and he was boel her. Below Hayakoch Bechachamim Lotzia Below Get. The Chum could not be matir her without a get. She needed to get the Rechoshesh that bia is l'shem kiddushin. La afuke mehai tana. And that statement of Ula is to tell me against the following tana. Dam Rabbi Dam Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Pasuk says in the Parsha of Sota that v'hilo nitvasa, she becomes a Sota because when she had the Bia, no one was forcing her into the Bia. She was not an Anusa. And therefore, Asura, that's why she becomes Asura Labayla. She cheated on her husband, and it wasn't an Anus. It wasn't Rachman of the son that someone forced her into Bia. She chose to cheat on her husband. So she becomes Asura Labayla. So Rabbi Shmuel is Medayik from the Lashon. If the bia was ba'ones, then muteres, then she's allowed to be with her husband. But we can also be metayik from the lashon of vihi. It says vihi lo nitzbisa, that this idea that when she's ne'ensa, that she remains muteres lebaila, is not in all cases, is only by the eshes ish that parsha of sota is talking about. But v'yesh l'cha acheres, there is someone else, sha'afal pi shelo nitzbisa, who even though she was not forced, she had bia beratzon and muteres, and she stays muteres labayla. Meaning the parsha Rashav Sota seems to lay out for us that there's one question you have to ask to figure out whether the woman is Mutaris Labaila or Asura Labaila. Was she Ba'ones HaBaratzon? Was she Nivellus Ba'ones HaBaratzon? But it implies from the word Vihi that there's someone that doesn't play by those rules. That there is one woman that even if she was Nivellus Ba'ones HaBaratzon, rather, she's still going to be Mutaris Labaila. Ve'ezu, what would that case be? Zusha Kiddusha, Kiddushay Taos. That would be a woman who's your Makadish Ra'al Tanai, that she doesn't have any Nadarim. Turns out that she does have Nadarim, so the Tanai was not fulfilled. She'afilu B'no Morkaval Ksefa. If she had beer with him and she became pregnant and she had a baby from that bia, she has a child on her shoulders, and she comes with him to Beis Din, we do not assume that they became married, that he was Baal L'shem Kiddushin, and when she was Nivellus to somebody else, she became Asura to him. No, we assume that they never got married, and therefore she doesn't require a get, so Mima'enes, she can just be Mima'enes going forward. So now the Gemara goes back to the din that we said in the Mishnah, that if you're Mekadish Nisha, Al-Manasla, she doesn't have any Nidarim, and it turns out that she does have Nidarim, or Al-Manasla, she doesn't have any movement. And then she does have movement in the Mekadeshes. So the Gemara says, okay, that makes sense. You Mekadesh Ra'al Tanai, that there are no Nidarim, no movement, and then there are Nidarim or are movement, that it's not going to be Mekadeshes. But what if she fixes the problem afterwards? What if she gets rid of those Nidarim? She gets rid of those movement. So Tan Rabbanan, the Brisa tells us as follows. A woman is in Skacha Almanas that there are no Nidarim. And it turns out that there are Nidarim at the time of the Kedushin. Holcha Eitzel Chacham V'Yitira. But then she goes to a Chacham, and the Chacham is Matir, the Nidarim for her, Mekadeshes. It's then going to turn out that she's Mekadeshes. However, if it was a Kiddushin al Tanai that she doesn't have any mumin, and she did have a mum, and then she subsequently goes Eitzel Rofe Veripa Osa, she goes to a doctor, and the doctor cures that mum, Eina Mekadeshes, then the Kiddushin is not going to be valid because she did have that mum at that time. Well, Ma Bein Chacham Lerofe, why should it be any different? I mean, these two cases seem very analogous to each other. There was a Tanai at the time of the Kiddushin, the Tanai was not fulfilled at the time of the Kiddushin, subsequently she changed her status to make it that the problem that was there at the time of the Kiddushin is no longer there. Mali, whether that problem was a neder, Mali, whether that problem was a mum. Why is there any difference between a chacham and a doctor? So chacham oker sa neder me'ikara. Now the difference is that when a chacham is matir, it's as if the neder never existed, that there was never a neder at the time of the Kiddushin at all, which is an interesting discussion. If a chacham is oker neder l'mafreya, so the Gemara tells us in Maseches Kiddushin that if a woman is takes a neder and the husband is made for the neder, but she has no idea that the husband was made for the neder, and then she goes and she violates it, but there's no neder there at all. Hashem Yisrachla, she's still going to require some level of kapara. So you have a concept of kapara for Machsheva Sachet, but what if a chacham is oker a neder, and she had violated that neder before the chacham was oker the neder, before the chacham was matzah the neder? So certainly there's at least Machsheva Sachet, but is there more than that? Has she violated Lo Yachal Dvaro? Has she violated that neder? Because at the time that she violated, so that's a whole sukkah. It could be that that's a violation of the neder, even though it's the neder's nekar l'mafreya. You have this concept of mikan l'abal l'mafreya, that going forward, we treat it as if there was never a neder, but maybe going backwards, we treat it as if there was a neder. You have to look carefully at those sukkahs, whether it makes a difference whether the hatara was from a chacham or a hafara sabal or a bezin, some other way to be mounted neder. But anyway, the chacham's capacity to get rid of her neder makes it that the neder was never there. Ooh, if the neder was never there, and he was Mekadesh Ra'al Tanai that she doesn't have any nedarim, she taka now to Gloyin Muslim Afreya that she doesn't have any nedarim. But Rof Einam Rapi El Mikano Lahaba, the doctor can cure her to make her not have that mum from here on in, but he cannot take away the fact that she grew up with that mum, that she had that mum at the time of the Kiddushin, and that's why the Kiddushin is going to be invalid. So ask the Gemara from another Brisa, Va'atanya, we have another Brisa that tells us, and this stira is going to take us all the way into tomorrow's daf. This stira is the kasha that we're going to be dealing with. Va'atanya, we have a Brisa that tells us that a woman who's in this kacha Al Tanai that she doesn't have any Nidarim. And then she goes, Eitzel Chacham V'Yitira, she goes to a Chacham, to be Matur. Or Eitzel Rofe, V'Ripa Yisah, The Kiddushin is not valid. So you see in this price, even in the case of the Chacham, where the Chacham has the right to remove the Neder Me'ikara, we still say, no, but at the time that you did the Kiddushin, the Neder was there, and it's Einam Mekudeshes. So it's a Stira, not in the case of Rofe, it's a Stira in the case of Chacham. How come in one price, in the first Tanur Rabbanan, we said that if she goes to the Chacham and Hitira, Mekudeshes, and in the second price, we're saying that if she goes to the Chacham and Hitira, that Einam Mekudeshes. So answer number one, Amar Rava, but they change it on the side, not from Rava to Rabba, because the second answer that we're going to have in tomorrow's daf is Rava, so therefore we're assuming that it's Amar Rava, lo kasha. It's not a stira, this is what we call a machlokas. Ha Rabbi Meir, ha Rabbi Lazar. The first price where it says that if you're matted, that if the chacham was matted, the woman's neder, so she is mukadeshes, that's shitas Rabbi Meir. The second price is shitas Rabbi Lazar. What does that mean, Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Lazar, ha Rabbi Meir damar Adam Rosh Spazi Ishto Bebezdin. The first price is assuming like Shitas Rabbi Meir, who holds that it's normal for a person not to mind so much that his woman goes to a chacham to be matter her nedarim. That the fact that there's some level of bizayon going to a bezin to be matter nedarim doesn't bother him so much. So if she goes to a chacham to be matter nedar, she's mukadeshes because he wanted the kiddushin to be chal in such a way. Whereas ha Rabbi Lazar, the second price assumes like Rabbi Lazar damar ein Adam Rosh Spazi Ishto Bebezdin, who says that a person would never want his wife to go to be matir the neder with a chacham, and memelu when he's mekadesh al tanai that she doesn't have a nedarim, his intent was to make a tanai that the kiddushin should not be chal even if she goes to a chacham, because I don't want her going to a chacham, so I don't want this kiddushin to be chal if that's what it's going to take. So Maihi, where do we find that there is such a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar that about the psychology of a husband about whether he wants his wife being the spaz of bebezdin titnan? Because we have a mishnah as follows: hamotzi as ishto mishum neder. A person divorces his wife for the get because of a neder that she took a lot of nedarim, and he can't live in the Isha Nadranis. Lo yachzir, he cannot remarry her once he divorces her, and mishum shem ra, and if he divorces her because she is a shem ra that she was bin mezana, also lo yachzir, he's not allowed to remarry her afterwards. Rabbi Yudomer kol neder she yadu varabim, lo yachzir. If it's a neder that a lot of people knew about, she took the neder in front of a large group of people, and he divorced her because of that, then lo yachzir, then he's not allowed to remarry, because a neder that was huda barabim, there's no way to be made for such a neder. So once she took such a neder, we make a kenas that she was such a prutza in the area of nedarim. So we're not allowing her to get remarried to the same husband. But if it was lo yadu barabim, the neder that he divorced her on account of was a private neder, then yachzir, then he's allowed to remarry her even after he divorced her, because it's possible to be made for such a neder. So the rabbanan didn't make a knas on such an isha because it wasn't such a terrible pirtza in the world of nedarim. Whereas Rav Meir Omer kol neder shetzar chakiras chacham, any neder that would require a chacham to be matir al yidei pesach v'charata, that the husband couldn't take care of on his own, so it's not a neder of a davar shebein. It's not a neder of inu nefesh. It's something that requires a chacham. It's something that the husband can't just do on his own. Lo yachzir. Then he's not going to be allowed to remarry her. But if the neder does not require a chakirus chacham, it's something that the husband could take care of by himself, then yachzir. Then he is allowed to remarry her. So we skip the parentheses. Amar Rav Lazar. So Rav Lazar says to Rav Meir, no, I would say just the opposite. Lo asu tzarech al mibnei she'enu tzarech. They only asked the husband to remarry her when he divorced or on account of a neder that requires a chakirus chacham, because they asked him to remarry when there's a neder that does not require a chakirus chacham, or the husband could do it. Meaning a neder that requires a chakirus chacham, there's no reason to make it asr for him to remarry her. The whole reason they asked him to remarry her is only atu a neder that does not require a chakirus chacham. So before the Gemara explains the svara, the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar, the Gemara explains the basis of Rabbi Yehuda. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. What was it? Rabbi Yehuda was the first one. Was that it all depended on Yadu Bar Rabim or not Yadu Bar Rabim? Because the pasuk says when it talks about the Gavonim, Velohiko Bnei Yisrael ki nishbu lahem nisiyeya eda. So Bnei Yisrael could have been shovel on their shvua and be matirit, so why didn't they do that? So you see that the shvua was a neder shuhudru b'fnei rabim, and it doesn't have hafara, and therefore they couldn't be shovel on their shvua. V'kama rabim, how much is a rabim? Rav Nachman reads the Gomer Shlosha, because yamim shnayim rabim shlosha, the word yamim means two, and rabim would mean three. So just like when it comes to Tumah Ziva, where it says yamim rabim means 3. So over here also, Rabbi means 3. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Sara. No, the Rabbi always means a minion, because Eda Ksiv Behu. Because it says Eda, where we learn Kinishbu Lahem Nesiyaya Eda. So Eda always means 10 people. Okay, that was Rabbi Yehuda Shita, but we're more interested in Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Neda Shetzar Chakirus Chacham Lo Yachzir, and Rabbi Lazar Omer, Lo Asu Tzarech El Mnei She'en Otzarech. So B'mai Kamifgi, what are they arguing about? Ah, so this goes back to what we were saying. Rabbi Meir Savar Adam Rotzah Shetzbazi Ishto Bezin. Rabbi Meir holds that it's normal for a person who's not a makbid, to not be makbid, that his wife goes to a chacham to be matir her neder, and therefore if he divorces his wife because she was a nadronis, and in a way that her nadarm required chakirus chacham, he's not going to be able to remarry her, because we have to be choshesh that after he remarries, after she marries somebody else, she's going to go to a chacham to be matir her nadarm, and then the original husband is going to say, oh, if I would have known that a chacham was going to be matir her nadarm, I never would have divorced her, and therefore he's going to ruin the second marriage, because he's going to say that the whole divorce was a mistake, and her new marriage is therefore not allowed. So we can't have such a thing. So we just make a rule that if it requires chakiras chacham, that he's not allowed to remarry her. And Rabbi Lazar Sarva ain't of the most spazu yishtav beisdin. A person is very makbid that his wife not go to a chacham to be matir in nedarim, and therefore he can't be mekalkel her when she gets remarried. He can't say, oh, if I would have known that these nedarim were nitan la'atara, then I never would have divorced her, because he does not want her to be matir them by going to a chacham. So therefore they asked him to remarry her by nedarim that require chakiras chacham, but that's only a gzeira because of nedarim that don't require chakiras chacham, meaning nedarim that he could have taken care of on his own. By there's a chashash that he might taina, if I would have known that I could just be made for the nedarim, I wouldn't have divorced her. But where it requires chakiras chacham, he doesn't really have such a taina. It's all a gzeira to the other case. So anyway, that's the basis for Rabba. Rabba had said that Rameh and Rabbi Lazar disagree about this svara of Adam Rotzah Shetzbazi Ishto Bebezin. That's where they disagree. And that's how Rabba answers the stira between the two brisos about a woman who is niskacha al Tanai, that she doesn't have any nedarim. She did have nedarim, and she went to a chacham to be matir. So the two brisos reflect these two opinions, which are all about whether a person is Rotzah Shetzbazi Ishto Bebezin. Tomorrow, Elisha will pick up with answer number 2, which is Rava's answer. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'll be back on Tuesday. Have a great day, everybody.